And so it's almost decision time. We're at what Stuart Morrow called the sharp end of the vacancy process. If all goes smoothly, and by the way, that's by no means certain, in just 3 weeks we'll hold a congregational meeting at which we may make out a call to the next minister of this congregation. And for those of you who may not be Presbyterians, a call is a formalized way of how in Presbyterianism a congregation gets a minister. But in Christian terms, there is more to calling than just the minister. The church is not just about the minister and what he or she does, but about what the people of God do. So let me ask a general question. What to you is the most important aspect of the life of the church? Is it the building, the minister, how worship is conducted, the type of music that's played, the preaching of the Word of God, the people you meet, or what is it? I don't think anyone agrees with the caricature from generations ago that what most people want is a minister that looks like a minister, a church that looks like a church, and to be left alone. And worse was the minister's view of those in the pews that they should turn up, pay up, and shut up. So what is church? Let's go back to basics. The Greek word is ecclesia, from which, of course, we get ecclesiastical and so on. And lots of languages use it, as you can see on the screen, eglise, ecclesia, eglise, eglise. The basic concept of ecclesia is those called out and summoned together. And both occur often in Scripture and are therefore important for our understanding of what the church is. And there is a link between the word church and the word call. And so in our reading in Ephesians 3 and 4, as I say, forget the chapter division, in Ephesians 3 and verse 21, you get, "To him be glory in the church." And then in verse 1 of the next chapter, "Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And by the way, I like the RSV translation better. "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." The word church in verse 21 and the two words that refer to call in verse 1, they are closely related. So Paul is saying that God is to be glorified in the church by his people, Christians, walking worthy of their calling. And let's tie all that in a quotation from Henry Nouwen. "The basis of the Christian community," he says, "is not the family tie or social or economic equality or shared oppression or complaint or mutual attraction, but the divine call. We are God's called people." The church is God's called people. So let's develop this idea. There are four aspects of God's summoning of the congregation of Israel, which we find mirrored in four aspects of the New Testament church, and which should be true of God's people today. Let me take these through. First of all, called out. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 is a good summary. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Called out of Egypt. Physical salvation. Passover, Pharaoh's pursuing army, the Red Sea, through the wilderness. It was a sovereign act of God. They couldn't have done it by themselves. God did it. He turned Pharaoh's mind. He parted the waters. He protected. He provided. It was truly a deliverance. And they celebrated that down through the generations thereafter. And so the Jewish people have just celebrated Passover again. And God calls us out of sin and spiritual death. He alone has made it possible for us to be freed from our captivity. God has acted. And through the cross, he gives us salvation. He calls us out of the bondage that we are in. He breaks the shackles and the chains of sin. And we're called to respond in faith, in trust, and obedience. There's a song that we used to sing, "Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand." And that is true, because it's God's doing. We owe it all to him. The church belongs to him. And without the love of God, without the initiative of God, without the grace of God, without the call of God, there would be no church. So to be the called out of God, what does it mean? If we're going through good times, whether we're going through difficult times, it's still God's church. And that's both a challenge and an encouragement. It's a challenge, especially to those who may be in leadership positions, because we need to remember that it's not our church. It's not the Kirk Sessions church. It's never the minister's church, but it's always God's church. And an encouragement, because it's God's church. And what God starts, he finishes. And though we are fallible and sinful, we remember that it's God's church. God's church. So called out, and then called for. Because the people were not merely called out of Egypt, nor are we called out of the bondage of sin. God also called the people for a relationship. We were thinking before Easter about all the covenants God made with people. So, for example, with Abraham, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you." Or Moses and the people meeting with God on Mount Sinai. And then the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, leading them as they traveled. And they carried the tabernacle, a sign of their relationship with God. And when Jesus called the disciples, we read in Mark chapter 3, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons, but first of all, to be with him. "Come to me. Be with me." And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 tells us how Christians are called into the fellowship of the Son. And we're called to know him through Jesus, to be his disciples, to live a new life in this world that he loves and gave himself for. And what does this mean? That the church is first and foremost about a relationship, personal and corporate, with God through Christ. The church is not primarily an organization to be run. Yes, it does need to be run, but it's not primarily that. And if someone has said a congregation does not exist primarily for the good of its members, and the church isn't a religious society for good works, and it's not an incidental means of grace just to get people saved, though it should do that. nor is it like a filling station where we get a sort of weekly top-up. But the church should be central to building our personal and corporate relationship with God. So, remember, it's about building that relationship. Called out, called for a relationship, and thirdly, we're called together. The people in Egypt were disparate without a common focus, so in calling them out, calling them for a relationship, God called them together. He wanted to make one people of them, not because they were better, not because they were more numerous, but because he loved them. And so they ate the Passover together. They left Egypt together. And it's important to underline that the call of God is not purely a private affair. God calls together a congregation, the people of God. The togetherness of a congregation is important in helping us to face the scourge of individualism that is endemic in Western society. For that means that people get isolated, even if there are lots of people around them. And in the church, we demonstrate that every individual counts, everyone matters. We are his community here, part of his community on this north coast, in Northern Ireland, in Ireland, in the UK, in Europe, in the world. And this implies that gathering with God's people for worship, teaching, fellowship, discipleship, mission, developing ministry is the core of what the church is all about. I want to underline what Chris said very helpfully last week, that churches are a unique feature of contemporary society. They're a coming together of different ages, sexes, different economic and social backgrounds, a great diversity. And what have we in common? Jesus Christ. So let's build relationships based on Jesus, what he's done for us and how he calls us. Let's build community within the congregation and build it beyond the congregation. There's a triple challenge here, faced by many congregations at the moment, post-pandemic. Building community across the generations. Building community with those who worship online. And third, building community with the diversity of other Christians in this triangle area. Because we should never forget the togetherness of churches across congregations, denominations, and fellowships. We're called together to be his people. For remember, we need each other. And fourthly and finally, we're called to God's promised future. What was Israel's goal? The promised land, though they'd never seen it before. And what's the goal of Christians? Our future and present inheritance, though we don't fully know what that is. The concept of the ecclesia is dynamic, not static. Being church is not passive, merely sitting and listening. If it's God's church, and it is, we're to reflect his nature and his calling. There is a temptation, especially as we get on in years, to look back to the past, what we might perceive as the good old days. But how does looking to the past reflect God's nature? I'm thankful that I have heard no one in the congregation saying during our vacancy, just get us a minister, as if that would fulfill our role. God wants us to look forward, to move forward. God wants us to be thinking about our ministry as a congregation here in this area in the 2030s. God is unchanging, but he's always up to date. So how do we reflect him? Jesus tells his followers, go into all the world and make disciples. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, where we are, in the wider society, and to the ends of the earth. And that's a task for all of us. In all of this, it's vital to remember that God has promised to be with us, to lead and to guide to the end of the age. The mother duck led her ducklings. Jesus leads us. Let us follow him. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's called people. That's why we are the ecclesia, the called of God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, forgive us, O God, for those times when we have spurned your call, when we haven't played our part as part of those called by you in your church. Forgive us that we have thought just of ourselves alone. Forgive us, O God, when we haven't lifted our eyes to the horizons where you would have us operate. We give you thanks that there is forgiveness for these and all our sins. Grant us grace, by the power of your Spirit, to do better, for Christ's sake. Amen.